Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to say also that, James, you know, our prayers have been going out to you and your coworkers and the family of your boss. I mean, how suddenly, you know, at 35 years old to be able to lose, you know, your boss. I mean, that's just a young age to be able to pay. You just never know how long we have.
Yeah.
And I just want you to know that our heart goes out to you, her family, and coworkers right there. I mean, it is a time for us to realize that, you know, that's exactly, you know, when these towers fell and everybody's talking to Jesus about these towers falling, you know, Jesus said, no. This is to let you know that you're not going to live forever. And there's going to be a day that, you know, we're going to instantly, to be absent from the body is to be present with God. And so tomorrow, today, you know, when we were to pass today, if we were to fall and lose our last breath, that we'd be in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, will we have regrets? Will we have regrets, or will we be going, yeah, this is so wonderful, I'm glad to be here? Or will we just kind of like holding our head down going like, you know, I know I live my life for me, and all that stuff now means is meaningless, but it's a little late revelation because I left all that behind. Because when a man dies, the only thing they normally he takes with him or she takes with him is just whatever people choose to bury with them.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, there's nothing else. As a matter of fact, people line up to be able to get the things that you had, you know, and they, you know, Jesus talked about the guy coming to him and said, you know, my brother won't share my inheritance with him. He's going, you know, what are you talking about?
And what do I have to do with that?
It's just amazing. The thing is that what Jesus is telling us is that you can't take anything with you.
Mm,
I mean, the rich man that was out, you know, that all day, all his whole life, he lived for himself, and he passed Lazarus outside the gates of his home, never paid attention to him. Well, he paid close attention to him when he died, because instantly he was with God, and he was looking at Lazarus, who was in a better place than him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it all just instantly, your life, it's like your books get balanced in the throne room of God. And ever how we lived our life at that one moment, and there was this rich man, you see, his name was called the rich man, and Lazarus, Lazarus had a lot of sores on him. He was a homeless man who was sick, and things were so different then. And it's still that way in a lot of the earth, but in America, it's a very blessed nation. But he would just beg for money, and he was outside this man's house, and this man just didn't pay much attention to him. He didn't share his things with him. He didn't think it was a big priority, this guy out here in the front, but he didn't understand God. You know, with God, everybody's important.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, especially the least amongst us, is very important to him. And of course, when they both died, the Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham. He's with God. But the rich man who had all the stuff and things and everything that he thought was so important, he left all that behind, and now he was in hell.
Right.
And it was so tormenting. He's saying, listen, can you go back and tell all my friends and my family and all the people that I lived the wrong life in front of them? Can you tell them that I was wrong? That if they don't start living for the Lazarus, if they don't start living and paying attention to the homeless and the hungry and the needy and sharing their stuff. I mean, think about this. I mean, this is a huge paradigm shift for America, because according to George Barna, 97% of the regular church attenders who attend their gatherings at least once every 2 weeks don't share their stuff even with God. Is that not right? I mean, is that what he says? He says 97%, or basically only 3%, according to George Barna with the Barna Group, did a study of regular church attenders who gather once every 2 weeks, that they don't tithe, which means they don't even give God what's his.
Right.
Man, Lord, remove the blinders from our eyes. I mean, Jesus wasn't talking about the tithe with this rich man. He was talking about sharing his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how is stealing God's tithe going to weigh out in the gates of heaven? A lot of people tell you what it is, but why don't you get in the Word of God and find out what God says about it?
Yeah.
Because if we won't share what God's blessed us with the homeless or with the needy or even with God.
Yeah. Well, Malachi says, you know, you offer me blemished sacrifices. And God's like, if I'm, you know, if I'm your father, where's my honor? And it's really a serious thing that the Lord saw there, especially when he's talking to the Levites. He said, you got to honor me. You got to honor me with what I, you know, with what,
that's what
I
it,
have commanded
that's
you
what
to honor
it boils
me
down
with.
To, is it honor?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to, is honor.
Absolutely.
Everybody's like, yeah. That has nothing to do with money. Listen, God wanted our stuff. He could take it instantly. It's all his.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it's like, you're not even acknowledging that I exist or that I gave it to you, that I blessed the work of your hands, that I caused America, for example, to be one of the blessed, most blessed nations on the face of the earth. And
mm-hmm.
you're not even sharing with me what's mine.
Right.
The tithes and the offerings.
In
like,
fact,
oh,
you're robbing me.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said robbing. And then he begins even to rebuke the Pharisees about how they were manipulating all of his stuff and saying, listen, you got to do both of them. He said, you got to honor your father and your mother and honor God with the first fruits, with the tithes. He said, both of them. And he said, you're nullifying everything. You're just making, it's just all for naught. You're making my word of non-effect because you're bringing your traditions in and you're just twisting everything. But the whole thing, this is the my concern part about the whole thing. And we're saved by grace. We're not saved because we do something. But you got to question the fact that if I say Jesus is the loving Lord of my life, I've given my life to him, would I not consider honoring him?
Mm.
I mean, you know, not even just with my finances, but with my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
With my life. We think about when Jesus was talking and gathering a few people around him to teach them to be fishers of men. He just looked to Peter and Andrew and just said, come, follow me.
Hmm.
And they dropped the way they make money. They just dropped it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't sit there and say, well, you know, let me figure out how to sell these nets and kind of do a business merger with somebody and get some sort of annuities going. And they just dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just got too much stuff. There's way too much stuff in America. And hence, there's so many considerations when, you know, you're having to make decisions because how am I going to keep my stuff?
Mm.
How am I going to keep my things? You know, mm-hmm. we've never lived in a tent. You know,
and our 46,000 storages spread across the country.
which aren't we? 46,000 storage units. But in all the world, what percentage?
Well, it's 56. There's 56,000. There's about 56,000
in the world.
It's about yeah, in the world. So the United States has 46,000 of those 56,000 storages in the United States.
So out of 56,000 in the world, we have 46,000 of them.
Yeah, wow. They say 1 out of 10 households has a storage unit for their stuff. And the storage industry says that most of the stuff that's in the storage is just junk that most people refuse to just get rid of. We just keep hoarding and hoarding and hoarding.
Instead of just giving it to someone.
Right. And they know it. The storage industry knows it, but just people don't want to get rid of their stuff. They want to just keep hoarding it all.
Well, I do want to say, first of all, if you do have a storage unit, you're not a sinner. They're like, oh my goodness, I got a storage unit. But think about this, too. If there's something that we're not going to use, why not just give it to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you guys can attest, I give everything.
I know.
No, don't give that away. Stop.
We need that.
The benefit of not seeing everything helps you. No, that's your lung. But it's just, you know, it's just freeing just to just hold everything loosely.
Yeah.
That if God gave it to you, then you know you can sell it. You can give it to someone because you don't know your day could be called tomorrow. You could, you know, be like this 35-year-old boss where she's just falls dead,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. There's nothing else you could do at that point. It's just, you know, it's it. There's nothing else. And if you spent everything like the rich young ruler on yourself, and you were planning like a lot of Americans have in regards to my pensions and all the stuff we talked about yesterday. If you missed yesterday, you got to find out about pensions and what's going to happen in 46 states. You can find out more about listening to yesterday's program. But 46 states are supposedly do not have the funds to pay any of these pensions that are coming due this year. Well, what's coming due this year also? Baby boomers are retiring, 10,000 a day or something like that.
Oh yeah,
that's everything's coming due. At the same time, we have our president running around with the American Visa card, you know, not only charge it, maxing it out, but running to China and say, hey, can you add credit limit to the American Visa program?
Mm.
And we're fixing to borrow more billions of dollars. And it's like this whole thing is happening before our very eyes. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't, to go to VFN TV and watch these prophetic teachings to encourage you, to tell you this is not a surprise. This is actually God's got his, the ones who've been wanting to reach the world, you finally got them where you want them to be.
Mm.
You know, it's like Paul standing before King Agrippa, and here he is chained up. And he wasn't worried about it, standing in front of King Agrippa. He says, thinking, I got the king right where I want him. Now he's listening to me.
Right.
And the king says, you almost convinced me.
Reminds me of something you were talking about this morning, regards to, you know, how short life is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just recently was reading in Ecclesiastes where it says, this is Solomon talking. He says, the day you die is better than the day you were born. Better to spend your time at funerals than at parties.
Oh, wow.
He says, after all, everyone dies. So the living should take this to heart. And he says, Okay, here he says, sorrow is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool always thinks about having a good time.
Wow, a fool.
This is very profound to me, because seeing a lot of death recently, this past year, and it really makes you reflect, you know, where your heart is in regards to...
Yeah.
Life is short. I mean, we got to live like, you know, that there is no tomorrow. We can't assume that we're always going to have tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, tomorrow is always written in a fool's calendar.
Right.
And recently when Pam, as she passed away, and how she, that whole progression of, you know, how that, the cancer worked on her life, but, you know, it brought her to a point of decision where she realized life is not certain, it's not forever, and I got to make my life right with God.
Right.
And it was a beautiful thing, because of the cancer, she did get her life right with God. And us as believers, we've got to live like there is no tomorrow. It's not guaranteed. I don't care who you are.
You're like this young lady, 35 years old. She's the boss.
Exactly. That's what
all of a sudden, she just drops.
Yeah.
Head.
Mm. It's gone. It's over. You know? And
whoever thought that, you know, I'm going to drop my child off today at Sandy Elementary School, and this would be their last day on the face of this earth. You just don't know. Just don't know.
And it's interesting the way he said it is that the sorrow refines us.
Mm.
And refining is that purity that you know, it gets rid of the stuff that's in your heart, and it purifies us. And it draws us closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. You know, you can go to a party all day long, but does that bring you closer to God? But when you go into these rough times in your life, and this grief and sorrow and, you know, the trials and tribulations of life, and how that draws you to God.
Right.
Yeah, it's a God thing. It's not a negative thing. I mean, it feels like, you know, it's very painful at the time.
Sure.
But it's something that God's using in your life to draw you closer to himself.
Yeah, you think about it, he says there's a time and a season for everything.
Yeah.
And it's like seasons where sometimes when you just get tired of summer, then when winter hits or fall hits, it's just so refreshing.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get, you know, tired of fall, and then winter hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get really tired of winter if it's just snowing, and it's so refreshing when spring hits.
Yeah.
And these seasons, we go through things in these seasons that makes us long for the next season. That you're right, that begins to refine us. It literally, in the vegetation life, that's exactly what happens, because it has to go through the dying process of the winter and the seed, and going to the spring and the germination and the weather and the spring and the bursting forth from the soil and the growing and the harvest, and but then it has to die off again to be able to be seed again.
That's good.
That is very good.
Yeah, wow. And it's just like you think about, you know, you're in great shape, but you know, I'd like to be back in shape again.
Listen, all of our listeners know what kind of shape you're in.
Right, you've got them convinced.
Or faith. You're speaking faith, right?
But the reason we don't do it,
right,
is because of the pain involved in it. You say, well, I'll just get to that later. You know, that's just too painful. I don't want to go through that process.
Is it painful?
Oh, yeah. It's very painful, especially when you first get started.
Now, you used to work out all the time.
Years ago, I did.
That's back, you know, that's what you did.
That's all I did.
And you squoze in work.
Yeah, squoze in work.
And balance in your checkbook.
Yeah, tried. Balance my checkbook.
All those millions.
Yeah.
Talking about levitation, this before you knew the Lord, he knew how to make things levitate. You can make a check levitate for a month.
Right.
No. That
but then once you do it and you get used to it and your body gets accustomed to it, then it's not a big deal.
You start wanting it.
You start wanting it. You start, you know, you just do it every day. So it's no big deal.
What was
and
life
you,
like?
And you feel guilty when you don't do it.
Yeah, what was life like without it?
Exactly. It's like, what was I thinking, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. I think I remember that. I guess.
It's been a while. It's been a while, so I'm kind of putting it off. I'm putting it off.
Well, I had that, my trainer, you know, I had that accident that, I never thought that I would be into cardio, like running down a road or something of that nature. And, of course, he was all like, you know, you got to do cardio 5 times a week, 6 times a week. Mm-hmm. If there's 8 days, you might need to do 8 days. Like, I don't like you. Of course, I did like him. He's very, mm-hmm. His name's Andrew. If anybody's in Birmingham, you need a trainer. He is the man. He abandoned me, but he's in Andrew. Mm. And he got, it was amazing. Once he took mm-hmm. me through the pain and the suffering and he explained things as I was going through, and he was very patient with my whining. I remember I was right in the middle of a fast. I was in a fast. And we were doing, I don't know, a 7-day fast with just water.
Mm-hmm.
Water or liquors, whatever. And I looked at him, I said, well, I'm not going to be able to work out because I'm going to be fasting so we can get back together again after the fast. He goes, no, this is perfect. This is exactly what your body needs
right.
to do. Because you actually purge. You're able to work out and all the, you burn off all these toxins. And I'm like, we're going to exercise.
Are you serious?
We're going to work and we're going to work out and we're not going to eat. I thought, this man's lost his mind. And it was totally amazing that mm-hmm. that you can do it.
Yeah,
I remember running up to some hill, like the fourth day on a fast, and he showed up irritatingly early every morning, and he would run with me, which was pretty cool, and I was so amazed. It broke so many mindsets, you know, with him because he was just, you know, if you get, you have to go through that painful suffering,
yeah,
mm-hmm. and get you a new bike seat. But you're right. I mean, and then all of a sudden you feel so good. But you didn't. It didn't feel good in the beginning. You had mm-hmm. to go through a season of suffering, mm-hmm. and then now you're right. It's exactly what
right.
you need to do.
Yeah,
you know, if of course the truth is, we always joke around Pat and I because we're struggling in that area. But John,
mm-hmm. Wow.
Before he gets up, he does crunches and pulls up with one arm.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Although pulls up his fork with one arm.
What? Although recently Tony has convinced me somehow run
Tony's
some
in shape.
Steps with him. And that's been very interesting. We've done it twice, and I said, okay, time for a break. I'm like, no. He's like, come
Tony,
on.
Tony, listen, you need to take him on them steps every day.
No.
That's great, man.
He started off light, 5. The next day he wanted to do 7. I said, come on now, man. It's amazing. What you guys are saying, because I used to work out.
Yeah.
But that's really? It's so true. I mean, it really is so true.
Years ago, before he got, he only worked out long enough to get married, and that was it.
That's right.
He used to walk around before he got
married. I guess it worked. He got a beautiful wife.
Yeah, he did. He really did.
It worked, man. Good job.
You should have stayed as beautiful as she did. That's unfair. You know? She stayed so beautiful. I mean, she held her bargain to the thing, you know. Yeah, he would walk around. He'd walk around and go, weak, 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 weak. He worked out so much, it was something. Isn't that something?
Something. That is something.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.